Among the high-profile bills the governor has already signed includes a bill that would legalize a low strain of marijuana known as Charlotte's Web to help treat seizures.
I met with some of the individuals that believe this is going to help them. I want to make sure they get the health care they need. I want to make sure it's safe for our children, and that's why I signed the bill.
Still, he affirmed his position on the amendment legalizing medical marijuana as a whole, expected to appear on the November ballot.
I've watched families deal with alcoholism, with illegal drug use, and so I personally will be voting against it, but it's a ballot initiative. Everybody in our state will have the opportunity to vote.
That same day, he made those remarks, got joined by victims, agency heads, and state lawmakers, signed two bills into law aimed at toughening Florida's human trafficking laws and increasing protections for victims. And Nikki Cross, survivor and founder of Star Ministry, a group that helps victims, was very touched.
I would have never imagined 40 years ago, when I was chained in a third-floor attic by the ankle, that I'd be standing doing this today. So we will get there. We will win this fight. I thank you so much, Governor, for what you're doing. It means the world to me and to every girl that I stand here representing.
Friday, the governor signed a bill into law that would essentially allow professional sports organizations like the Daytona International Speedway to get taxpayer dollars to build new stadiums or upgrade current ones. Its spokesman, Lenny Santiago, says it will not just help the Speedway, but the community as a whole.
Daytona Rising, which is the redevelopment project here underway at Daytona National Speedway, is a great example. We've had a study conducted on what the project would generate. And the results are actually very strong. You know, it's expected to create 6,300 jobs throughout the construction period, as well as $300 million in labor income and $80 million in tax revenue. You know, those are really strong numbers for our community here, not only in Volusia County, but as well as in Central Florida.
Scott also approved several gun-related measures, including a bill banning insurers from discriminating against gun owners and another allowing tax collectors to help the state process gun applications to meet a growing demand for concealed weapon permits. Scott also gave his stamp of approval to the so-called warning shot bill, a measure that would allow someone to threaten the use of force or fire a warning shot without fear of prosecution. It was inspired by a Jacksonville woman who fired a warning shot during an alleged domestic dispute and received a lengthy prison term. The measure was sponsored by Baker Republican Senator Greg Evers, who also authored the so-called Pop-Tart bill. Another measure Scott signed into law aimed at revising schools' zero-tolerance policies regarding schools and guns. A Maryland boy, for example, was suspended from school for chewing his Pop-Tart into a gun. And in Florida, kids could even be referred to the juvenile justice system for wearing clothes with a gun on it.
Why do we want to take children that's just being children and give them a record to where they would feel they're a loser, they're never going to amount to anything, their life is ruined? So that's the purpose of the bill, to protect kids, but yet it still allows for the principal to make a decision if it is a harmful situation that needs some attention. It can be done.
The governor also signed a comprehensive education bill, which includes helping students with special needs get an education, as well as the controversial expansion of the state's corporate tax scholarship voucher program, allowing for middle-income families to receive a private school voucher. While some groups like Students First Florida hail the signing of the bill, the Florida Education Association did not. FEA spokesman Mark Pudlow says they're concerned the expansion will come at the expense of public schools.
There's only a certain amount of dollars that are available for public education and for education in general. And this is money that's not going to public schools, which have virtually 90% of all the students in Florida. So anytime you finance private schools, unaccountable private schools, then you're not financing public schools properly.
Pudlow says the union representing thousands of teachers is looking into whether to file a lawsuit. Meanwhile, also included in the wide-ranging bill is a provision to help juveniles in the detention system get the education tools they need to reenter society. One of the priorities of outgoing Florida Department of Juvenile Justice Secretary Wansley Walters.
That is going to increase the funding for school districts, for children that are serving in our residential programs. It's going to be easier for them to get vocational training and different kind of skill sets that are going to help them get jobs when they leave our programs.
In addition to signing a measure rewriting the state's current laws governing the juvenile justice system earlier this week, he also approved a bill revamping Florida's juvenile life sentencing laws and another that ensures locked-up juveniles get the medical and mental health treatment they need. Other bills the governor signed into law include a measure helping Florida foster kids overcome obstacles to learning how to drive, a bill making it a separate crime to harm the fetus at any stage of development during an attack on a pregnant woman, and another seeking to compensate a man wrongfully convicted for killing his kids. The governor now has four bills awaiting his approval. For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Kortner.